This morning we continue the series, Moses, Follow the Fire, and this morning we're looking at sharing faith, and we are in Exodus chapter 18, verses 8 through 12. And the setting is this. Moses has come from the people of Israel to spend time with his family and with his in-laws, and this is after they've crossed the Red Sea, after been through the wilderness for a little ways, they're on their way to Sinai, and Moses sits down to share with his father-in-law, who's actually not a believer. He's a believer in another God, a priest of another religion. And Moses shares his faith, and it's an amazing and often overlooked passage, and Jethro comes to faith. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all about the hardships that they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. So this morning we're looking at sharing the fire, or sharing faith. And first, I wanted to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this young boy by the name of Johnny, and he'd been misbehaving, and his mother sent him to his room. And after a little while, Johnny came out, and he told his mother that he had thought it over and said a little prayer. And the mother said, "Fine, Johnny, why, if you ask God to help you not misbehave, God will help you." And little Johnny said, "Well, I didn't ask him to help me not misbehave. I asked him to help you put up with me." It's the truth, isn't it? Families can be the best and the worst, and of course it's Mother's Day, and mothers put up with so much for all of us, and they love us and get us through so much of life, the good times and the difficult times. And this morning I want to think about this chapter and use it to think about the truths of sharing our faith with those who are closest to us, because I think when you look at this passage, it's often overlooked. And Moses' father-in-law actually was not a believer. He was actually a priest of another faith. And for 40 years, Moses probably had shared his faith with his father-in-law, Jethro. And perhaps Jethro had listened, but really nothing really had ever happened. Anyone ever share your faith with maybe a family member and nothing really happened, nothing really profound seems to happen? Maybe there's something happening under the surface, but nothing seems to happen. And of course, Moses had to go to his father-in-law and tell him that he had seen a burning bush and he was going to go and confront Pharaoh and tell him to let his people Israel go. Now, think what would happen if you went to your father-in-law and said something like that. Now, we don't know exactly what happened. We don't know what Jethro's response to Moses was, but we know that Moses went. And so now Moses has returned, and Moses sits down and shares this incredible experience with his father-in-law. And we can only imagine exactly all that Moses told him, but I think it was a beautiful moment. And in this picture, we see that Jethro, after he listens to Moses share all that God has done for the Israelites, as Moses confronted Pharaoh and they crossed the Red Sea and God had provided for them in the wilderness, and it says that Jethro all of a sudden said, "Praise be the Lord," and he was delighted, and he offered sacrifices to the Lord, which is a sign that he had come to believe, and also with the elders of Israel. And so he came to faith in this moment, and it's kind of incredible. And so I think there's some truths for us in this story this morning about sharing our faith, and I think there's four things briefly I want to think about. And the first thing is to be personal. You know, many times when we think about sharing our faith, sometimes we see online maybe something, there's like a formula, there's something that we go through, or we share someone else's story. But I think the truth is, those things might be helpful, but the most important thing we can do is to be personal with our faith. You know, God has created us each uniquely, and our story is unique. And what connects with people is the uniqueness of how God has met each and every one of us. Now, that doesn't mean we're trying to foist our experience onto someone else. I think that sharing what has been the most important thing, the most meaningful thing to us, and how God has touched our lives. And so when Moses talked to Jethro, his father-in-law, Moses shared what happened to him. And maybe Moses shared again about the burning bush, but Moses had to share how he went before Pharaoh and all the things that happened with Pharaoh, and then how the plagues came. And then Moses had to share how they crossed the Red Sea, this incredible miracle, and then how God had closed the Red Sea and on the Egyptian army and had saved them, and then how God had brought them a time of God was providing manna in the wilderness, and God had provided water and had transformed the bitter springs of Marah into sweet water. And so as he shared that, it was a transforming experience for Jethro, and Jethro was able to come to faith on his own. And so when you think about life, when you think about faith, how has God met you? What is your unique story? Do you reflect on that? Are you willing to share that? And sometimes it helps if we just sort of write that down, but we don't want to sort of read it to somebody, and sometimes you can write a letter, but how has God met you personally? Think for a moment how Jesus talked to people throughout the New Testament. I mean, Jesus met every person uniquely exactly where they are. To the fishermen, Peter and James, Jesus gave them a great fishing tip, and they had great catch, and then Jesus invited them and challenged them to become fishers of men. To Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "Come down from the tree, I'm going to your house for dinner." To Nathanael, Jesus looked at him and told him something so specific about when he was under a tree at one moment that Nathanael too had to follow him. And you think for a moment about Jesus with the woman at the well. And Jesus, instead of being part of the prejudice of the culture of that time, Jesus shared a drink of water with her, and it opened the door to him sharing his life and his faith, and that woman's life was touched in an incredible way. And then she went and shared her personal story with people in the village. And so how do we share our faith with each and every person that we come to? When Paul writes to Timothy in this closing chapter of Paul's life, and Timothy's life is really kind of getting going, his ministry is picking up, Paul reminds Timothy of his faith, and he reminds Timothy that his faith was really kindled from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and that he should fan into flame that gift that is in him. And for many of us, our mothers have instilled to us their faith. And I think it's something that they share with us personally because it's something they experienced personally in their life. And so the first thing is to be personal. And next thing is to be real. You know, the word witness that we use when we share faith, some people use that, some people don't, but the word witness really comes from the courtroom trial. And so if you're called into a courtroom when you witness, you have to testify to what you have personally experienced. Otherwise, it's just hearsay. So I think in the same way, when we witness to someone else, when we share our faith, we need to be people who tell it how it is, what we've gone through, what we've experienced in our life. And so when you think about being real, a lot of times, sometimes I don't think we're really real with people. We sort of paint a picture that's not really true. And I think we can experience the adversity and difficulties of life. And sometimes maybe you turn on the radio or TV and you hear someone that says, you know, if you turn to faith, everything's going to go smoothly. It's going to be easy. There's going to be no difficulties, no bumps in the road. But the truth is, faith is a battlefield many times. And I think we need to share that with people. I think when Moses talked to Jethro, Moses was real about the difficulties and adversity that he went through. I think Moses was probably real about how difficult it was to go before Pharaoh. I think Moses was real about the panic, maybe even when he was faced with the Red Sea on one hand and the Egyptian army on the other, but he was real with how God met him there. I think he was real with how difficult it had been in the wilderness, but how faithful God had been. And sometimes we just candy coat things. We smooth things over. And the truth is, when we're real with people, it connects with people, because they have problems and adversity and difficulty too. And I think one of the things, when, as Tamara was talking about the statue, the Pietà, it's so moving, I think, when you look at that, because Mary is real in her grief, but she's real in her faith. And when those two things come together, it's a powerful invitation to us, because we experience adversity and difficulties too. And many times, it's in the challenges and adversities of life that we come to faith. We need to be real with other people. And when Paul writes to Timothy, he reminds him that he is in prison himself. He's real about his faith. He reminds him of his suffering, and he tells Timothy that he needs to persevere, to not be timid, but to be strong and to be powerful in love. And God is touching him in that way, and he's offering to sort of pass along the faith in that way. And I love the imagery of that sharing the fire, and I'm so glad you sang that song this morning about Go Light Your World, because when I think of sharing the faith, many times I think of sort of people passing the flame of candles from one to another. I think of Christmas Eve when we do that, and all of a sudden the whole auditorium is lit up in the darkness. And I think sometimes when we think about sharing our faith, we're worried that it needs to look like something, or we're going to be the evangelist, or we're going to be the theologian or something, and we just need to be real with who we are. If we think of that imagery of lighting someone else's candle, who doesn't want their candle to be lit? And we sort of use that as the image of sharing our faith with someone else, of just inviting them to put their candle up and light their flame from it. We can share our faith in a way that's new and it's powerful. And so to be personal, then to be real, and then to be honest. And I think to be honest is an extension of being real. But I thought about being honest because I think the thing about being honest is to say that we don't have all the answers. I mean, many times you've heard people and they seem like they have to have all the answers. They feel pressured to have all the answers. And we know deep down in our hearts and lives that they don't. And you can read the greatest theologians in the world and they don't have all the answers. And I think one time of St. Thomas Aquinas, who's this incredible theologian, a great mind, one of the greatest minds that's ever lived. And he was writing his great Summa Theologia and he never finished it. Some point in his life, and it's supposed to maybe answer all the questions, he had this experience while he was preparing communion, and God spoke to him in such a powerful way that he put down the book and never uttered another word. He was so life-changing that he just couldn't explain it. And I think in our own lives, sometimes, I think if we're just honest, we say that we don't have all the answers, we don't know exactly how God has touched us, but God has touched us in such a way that our lives are changed in a way that is lasting and it's profound, and we know that God is going to see us through. And if we're honest like that with people, I mean, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but don't be afraid, I've overcome the world. And those are words that we can live with. It doesn't always take away the storm. Sometimes God just gives us the peace in the midst of the storm. And the same way with Paul talking to Timothy. I mean, Paul is being real and honest from prison. He's saying, listen, I'm in prison. You might be in prison too. The church might be in prison, but the truth is God is present here. And so he challenges him to rekindle the flame. I think for a lot of us, we need to rekindle our flame and be willing to share it. And so God, I think, would have us this morning think about sharing our faith, to be personal, to be real, and finally to be honest, and finally to believe. You know, it's something we don't usually think about, and for a lot of us, I know maybe you've had a family member, a friend, a loved one, and they've not come to faith. I think the encouragement for us this morning is to keep believing, to keep praying for them, because after a certain amount of time, God might meet them in a powerful way that we never expected and transform their life. Think about Moses for a moment. I mean, Moses might have prayed for his father-in-law, Jethro, for 40 years. I mean, for 40 years, Moses was in the household of man who was a priest of another faith. But somehow Moses shared his faith. And Moses, we don't know exactly what his frame of mind was coming back to his father-in-law. We know that Moses sat down with his father-in-law, maybe around the fire, and began to share all the things that God had done. In the midst of that joy, all of a sudden, Jethro was overcome. And the seeds that Moses had planted in those 40 years before all of a sudden came to fruition. And Paul reminds us that some plant, some water, and some harvest. And so each of us might have a place, or it might be a time along the way. But even though we don't always understand how God is working, know this, that God is working, just like that seed that is slowly growing in the ground and then comes up, and then eventually through the storms and the winds and the rains and the sunshine, all of a sudden flowers and blooms and you have a harvest. God is at work in people's lives in ways that you and I might never understand. And so we need to believe. I think of the life that Lois and Eunice had, Timothy's grandmother and his mother. You know, they had to believe for him. Paul had a dramatic conversion when he was along the road to Damascus, and the risen Lord appeared to him, and Paul was suddenly and dramatically changed. Timothy's life was completely different. I mean, Timothy was raised in a home, and we know that Timothy's father was not a believer, and so his mother and his grandmother poured their faith into Timothy one step at a time. And then at some point, Timothy came to faith. It might have been when Paul was preaching, but at some moment, all of a sudden, all the work that had been done, all the sort of growing that was going on underneath the ground, all of a sudden came to fruition, and Timothy believed. There's a story in Mark chapter 2 that I love. It's one of my favorite stories. And the story is this. Jesus is preaching and he's in this crowded house. And these four men come with their friend on this homemade gurney of some kind. They were carrying a mat and they had their friend on and their friend was paralyzed. And they wanted to have Jesus touch them and heal them. And they tried to get into the house, but the house was full. And so they were undaunted. And so if you can imagine this, they climbed up on the roof and then hoisted him up on the roof and then cut a hole in the roof and then lowered him down. And you can only imagine, Jesus is preaching, what would happen if someone, you know, cut a hole in the roof this morning and they were lowering him down and all the commotion that might happen. Love it if it was that pack that people had to cut a hole in the roof and we'd deal with the roof later. But In the midst of this, Jesus wasn't thrown off cue at all. Jesus looks at them, and he looks at this young man and says, your sins are forgiven. And the explanation given is, it says this, that Jesus looked at the friends, and because of their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven, and then he healed this young man. In other words, it wasn't the faith of the person on the mat. It wasn't the faith of the person who needed to be healed, who needed to be forgiven. It was the faith of the four friends. And I think in the same way that God often honors our faith in ways that you and I could never understand and probably won't understand this side of eternity, but God looks at our faith, the faith that we have as we pray for friends and family members, and God will eventually meet them along the road of life in a way that we may never have expected, in a way that is more life-transforming than we ever expected. These friends probably didn't realize that Jesus was also going to forgive them, the kind of moment there would be for this young man, but they had the faith to take a step along the way and then even cut a hole in the roof. And so today, I wonder where you are. Do you have a friend or family member you've been praying for a long time, and maybe you've almost given up on them? You just wonder how God is working in their life. And especially for mothers, I know that on Mother's Day, there's a special burden for mothers who's maybe have a son or daughter, or maybe a grandson or granddaughter, and they're not where they should be, maybe, in faith and life. And you've planted the seeds of faith, but you haven't seen the fruition. Maybe they've never come to faith, or maybe they were in church and then left. I want us to take hope this morning that God is at work in their lives in ways that you might never understand. Moses was in the desert for 40 years with his father-in-law, sharing his faith. And then he was taken away and confronted the biggest battle that he'd ever faced in life. But in doing that, when he came back and shared the most difficult moments of his life, somehow that was a moment that transformed Jethro from being an unbeliever to being a believer that celebrated with all these other people around the fire. And it was a moment of incredible life-transforming power. And in closing, I want to just read this from Paul to Timothy, because I think it's a great admonition for all of us to rekindle our flame of our faith, and also to rekindle our faith in others coming to Christ. And Paul says this, as he's writing from prison to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of your testimony about our Lord or about me as a prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Whatever you're going through right now, that might be just the moment that God is going to use somehow to be a life-transforming event to someone else. So I challenge you today to be personal when you share your faith, to be real, and to be honest, and finally to believe God is at work in ways that you might never really understand. But believe this, God does still change lives today. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for Mother's Day. We thank you for our mothers who touch our lives in ways that we forget to thank them for. But one of the greatest ways they touch our lives with is with their love and with your love. So today, help us to fan into flame the seed of faith that's in our life. Help us to share the flame of faith with others near and far. Help us to do it in a way that is personal and that's real, that's honest. But Lord, help us to believe. Help us to fall on our knees and to lift up the names of those we love, knowing that you are faithful and you love them even more than we do. So help us to share our faith, to share the flame of faith with others near and far. Through Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.